Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about how we can honor the journey of our veterans home. In a short time, we will be honoring our many veterans who have fought in many wars and have given their lives for their country. How do we care for veterans living with complex and life-changing issues once they return? We will talk with Marcianne Albert, Continuing Education Program Specialist for the Lehigh Valley Health Network. And we also talk with Dr. Bruce Elswig, who is Vice Chair of the Department of Family Medicine for Community Practices at the Lehigh Valley Health Network. Monday, November 12th, at 4 p.m., there will be a conference honoring the veterans with a particular message. Marcianne, tell us what this message is.
The message for this year's conference is honoring the journey home. So it provides information as well as resources for our community members, our healthcare providers, veterans and their families living with potential life-limiting illnesses as well as complex illnesses, issues, and medical needs.
And Dr. Bruce Elswig, how did this conference come into being? It has a very special significance, I believe.
The evening conference is funded. It's the Jonna Haldeman Follin Memorial Lecture Series, which is in honor and in memory of Jonna Haldeman Follin, who was a young woman who passed at 26. She was she graduated from the Air Force Academy, was an Air Force lieutenant, a pilot, and soon after beginning her pilot instructor training, and soon after she got married, was diagnosed with a life-ending illness, a very rare kind of aggressive lung cancer. And she was treated in the military very well and at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas, and then came home when it was inevitable that she was going to die, and was embraced by her incredible family on our hospice service. Her mother is an employee of our hospital network, and her mother's boss, a very generous man, and his wife, Harry and Roe Lukens, donated money to support a lecture series to raise awareness about life-ending illness, communication, and demystifying the issues of life-ending diseases and hospice and palliative care.
Well, that was very generous. And how long did she live?
She was diagnosed and lived a little over a year from her diagnosis to her death, I believe.
And how old was she?
26 years old.
26 years old. Was she married at the time?
She was married, and it was soon after she got married that her diagnosis was made and she was treated.
Well, I think
her husband is also a military officer. He was also a pilot, graduate of the Air Force Academy.
Well, that's a wonderful tribute to a young woman that really perpetuates her memory and makes a contribution to the lives of so many people. Now, the purpose of this conference is what, Marcianne?
The purpose of the Jonna Haldeman Follin Memorial Lecture Series is to demystify the myths and misconceptions surrounding palliative medicine and hospice. This particular series falls on Veterans Day, so it is to embrace our veterans, to allow their families as well as our community members to talk openly about the issues that veterans, their families, as well as our community faces, helping them through to their final journeys, whether it be through hospice, through end-of-life care services, palliative medicine, and in general.
So there are definite issues that veterans face, regardless of what war they participated.
Yes.
And what are some of the issues that they are facing? Sometimes they don't want to face them, but what are some of the issues that will be addressed in the conference, for example?
Post-traumatic stress is one of the premier things that we may deal with, and it represents something that many veterans don't acknowledge for themselves and we don't recognize in our community unless we're better educated. And that's one of the purposes of what we're going to be doing, to raise awareness of post-traumatic stress. People who have had head injuries, for example, IED injuries, where they may not have any outward signs of physical trauma, but they lose memory. They have difficulty functioning in society, supporting these people. And also, historically, the culture has been that in the past in the military, that people sometimes resist identifying themselves as being as suffering from any kind of injury because it may have impact on the career. The military, fortunately, has become much more enlightened over the last few years and honors and recognizes these people for what they have done in their service so that it doesn't have that same kind of impact. But still, people come home with baggage that they've acquired in the service, and this is throughout our recent history. Certainly, we have World War II vets that carry with them the burden of chronic illness, exposure to different chemicals that they may have, or wounds that they still carry with them from Vietnam, certainly Agent Orange issues, from other conflicts, from Korea, from the Gulf War, from Iraq. There are unique and very special things that need to be recognized and honored for our veterans. And our purpose in this is to raise the awareness in the community in general, but also specifically the care providers in our community, to recognize, to listen, to ask the right questions, and to respect the veterans' needs for, and their families especially, for what they may need.
Can you give us an example of a veteran who might have come home? I'm sure there are so many, but from in your experience, can you give us an example of a veteran who came home and was not willing to accept the illness, or, you know, thought he was best serving his family by trying to be as normal as possible, but perhaps had suffered some injury? Maybe he was he encountered an IED in Iraq or something of that sort. Give us an example.
I can give you an example of a young man that came back. He was discharged honorably from the service, and he had had an IED exposure.
How old was he?
He was in his early 20s. And he actually suffered incredibly from headaches. He was unable to work. He was unable to continue his education because of the distraction from his injury. He was and still is being cared for by the Veterans Administration and honored for what he did, but this burden that he carries with him may last for many years or even his lifetime. And unfortunately, that's a burden that he carries from serving for us, and he needs to be honored for that. There are other occasions where I've had one particular young man that came back who's has a career in the Marines, who several years ago approached me, and he was uncomfortable with the emotional distress that he was having, and he felt that it would be a sign of weakness and it would be a career ender for him if he shared this with the other soldiers in his company, the other Marines in his company, and with his superiors. So he carried that burden. But in the last few years, he's been able to seek treatment for that.
Well, in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking about how we can honor our many veterans and also their families on their journey home. How do we care for veterans living with complex and life-changing issues, as well as the rest of the community? We're dealing with end-of-life issues. We're dealing with different kinds of care. Mm-hmm. And my guests this evening are Dr. Bruce Elswig. And we are also talking with Marcianne Albert, Continuing Education Program Specialist for Lehigh Valley Health Network. And we're talking about a conference that's coming up on November 12th.
Yes.
Tell us about the conference and what it plans to do.
Marcy. The event coming up on November 12th is designed to address some of the private battles many veterans face, the complexities terminally ill veterans and their families face as they navigate through the continuum of care. Providers' perspectives on the importance of infusing patient-centered values into the care setting, the generational and gender differences that impact delivery of veteran care, and how to improve the access, quality, care, and resources to veterans and families living in our community. So it's a really important event, reaching out to embrace what we have in our neighborhood and how to care for those that have served our country.
And it sounds like there are many levels here. We're talking about the illness. We're talking about veterans' families. We're talking about gender issues. We're also talking about cultural issues that might impact on the care that that we're attempting to give.
And spiritual issues as well. You know, it's what we do in palliative care and hospice, and the root of the word palliative care comes from cloak. And we surround, we cloak families and patients. The family is often the unit of care as well as the patient with support services, spiritual, social, physical support with nursing, et cetera. And we give them a warmth, a sense of community, and we provide, we identify, we listen, we identify the cultural differences that people may have. We try to be sensitive to both their spiritual, their religious, their ethnic backgrounds, and that may influence how they receive care, how they will share with us the information that we need to have. So we try to identify those things.
Well, those seems like very important issues that sometimes may be ignored in another setting. And I think this is something that is very special about the palliative care and the care that is attempted to being offered by hospice and an attempt to help people understand the options that they have. Very often we're not aware until something comes up in our lives. Maybe we're taking care of a parent and we see that we no longer can take care of that parent, and suddenly we're faced with what do we do now? And we're not always aware of the options. And what you're doing is making this available to not only the general community, but particularly this conference is devoted to the resources for veterans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And 25% of our touches in the network have some connection with a veteran. And that's not unique to our network. It's nationwide, I'm sure. And even helping the veterans and their families identify the resources that are supplied by our government, by the Veterans Administration. I remember when my father passed, he was a veteran, and they offered the Veterans Administration offered an honor guard and a flag for his death. He had been out of the service since the early 1950s, but still he was respected for what he had done. And that was wonderful for the family. There are resources out there for veterans to get their chronic care at Veterans Administration facilities as well as their primary care doctors.
And we're going to learn more about what you can learn if you choose to come to the conference, and we hope you do, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
WDIY reaches a well-informed and passionate listening audience every day. Enhance your image with our community by becoming an underwriting supporter. Spread the word about your business in an uncluttered atmosphere of high-quality NPR and locally produced programming. Underwriting is an affordable way to reach the public radio audience, and it may be tax-deductible. To learn more, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. This evening we're talking about an event that is coming up on Monday, November 12th at the Lehigh Valley Health Network, right on Cedarcrest Boulevard. And that event is the Johanna Haldeman Follin Memorial Lecture Series, which will take place in the evening from 6 to 7:30. And during the day, Marcianne Albert?
The Johanna Haldeman Follin Memorial Lecture Series does have an all-day robust educational plan. The evening celebration and reception begins from 4 o'clock to 5:30. Which is then led into the evening activity, which begins at 5:45 to 8 p.m.
And how is the how do you separate the events of the day?
The events of the day have been crafted and developed by several stakeholders within the network as well as the community. Dr. Ellswick can speak to more of what the activity and outline is for the day.
In the early part of the day, there'll be a flag-raising ceremony at each of the Lehigh Valley Health Network campuses. And there will be singing the national anthem. There will be representatives of senior leadership at each of the flagpole raising ceremonies. And following that, the afternoon reception will be, again, honoring the veterans and speaking to the mission of our network and our community about honoring veterans. Will be this reception where all veterans from the community are welcome to participate, veterans who serve who work in our network will be invited to come, and people are, if they still fit, are welcome to wear their uniforms as well, to participate in these activities to honor them for their service. And it is a multi-generational event, and we hope to attract veterans who served in all of our conflicts and wars and served us in peace, and also to thank them for their service.
Well, that's a very beautiful concept. Mm-hmm. And this concept was evolved through a very special person. Tell us a little. You told us a little bit about it the first part.
The evening lecture is to honor and memorialize Jonna Haldeman Follen, who, as a young woman, I had the privilege of caring for as a child, actually, in her family, in my family medicine practice. She was a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and was an Air Force pilot, and was actually beginning to be beginning to participate in flight instructor training at the time that she was diagnosed. She was married just prior to being diagnosed, and suffered her unfortunate illness. And one of the things that we identify in hospice and palliative care is to be both spiritually and culturally sensitive to our patients and their families. Jonna was blessed with an incredibly wonderful family that supported her in her home at the end of her life, and had a very valuable and actually invaluable support from her spiritual community, from her religious community. And that also is something that we try to identify, this difference between religion and spirituality.
And tell us a little bit about the difference between religion and spirituality that you try to accommodate patients with.
Many patients, when we say we have a spiritual counselor in hospice or in palliative care, are put off by it because they're afraid they're going to be preached to or converted, or somebody's going to impose on them values that aren't their own. And one of the most important things that we do in palliative care and hospice is ask the question and listen to the response, and not to generalize or stereotype. Spirituality may be, for one person, it may be fishing on a stream and getting their peace and contentment from that. It may be someone who needs a structured religion to embrace them. And also cultural issues. We can't generalize. We can't stereotype. If someone comes from a particular background, we can't assume that all of the common beliefs that we attribute to that particular culture or religion are accepted by that patient or family. And we also have to recognize that in some beliefs, people, by the nature of their spiritual beliefs or their religion, have to suffer in order to go on to the next level, to pass from this world into whatever they believe is following that. I had one patient who actually felt that he needed to feel pain in order to go on to the next level. And that was an incredibly challenging situation for the staff and for myself and for the other patients who were in the inpatient unit to hear someone screaming in pain. So there was a negotiation, and there was a listening, and there was a dialogue between the patient, his family, his own spiritual counselor, and our spiritual counselor. So we negotiated the fact that we could allow him to feel the pain that he needed to feel and not to suffer to the point where he was causing pain to the family, his family, and he got blessed with a very enlightened spiritual counselor, his own, who allowed this to happen. We need to listen to our patients, people who have very unique beliefs, and you can't just stereotype them by what you feel that they may have.
So it's important for us to understand that palliative care and hospice care is not only the physical, but it's not only the physical, but it's the mental and emotional and respect for cultural and spiritual differences. And that is very important. And how does the conference help in any way the caregiver understand the needs of the patient so that they are caring for, so that they can communicate and be a better provider? And also, then the other question I'm going to ask is later is about how we help the caregiver. But let's concentrate on the caregiver.
What we do is try to raise awareness to the unique issues that may confront, in this case, the veterans and their families. Prior lectures were The Nature of Suffering, given by Eric Cassell, where he defined how complex suffering actually is, that it's not just pain, it's spiritual, it's existential, it's psychological, and physical pain. We also had Ira Byock speak on the four things that matter most at the end of life or during challenging times, like saying, I forgive you, I love you, please forgive me. These are things that are important to deal with, and actually allowing the care providers to understand that they have to allow the patient and the family to go through this process.
So it's very important to you to encourage the caregivers to understand to use that time wisely, and to, if there are issues that are unresolved, to at least apologize or to acknowledge the difficulties. You may not be able to rectify, but at least to acknowledge and own them and to make your peace before that person dies.
Absolutely. This is very much important. And that's the basics of what we do. And incorporated in that is the importance of listening and asking the right questions and actually listening for the response.
There's a great importance in effectively communicating end-of-life care topics, treatments, care plans to the patients and their families in realistic terms.
What do you mean by that?
Realistic terms, what is available to the patient, what can and can't be done during that time of end-of-life care, and patient as well as family suffering, people need to have a clear idea of what's available in realistic terms to reduce the suffering, to reduce the pain, or to guide them through to the end-of-life journey that they will be facing.
And the language.
And the language.
And the language that we use has to be one that's understood.
Can you give us an example about what you mean?
We need to use real words that people understand. We can't use the medical terminology. We have to use ordinary speech when we talk to people. We have to actually get feedback. We have to listen to what people understand of what we said and have them talk back to us so that we understand that we are communicating in a way that they understand. And embedded in that is also supporting our caregivers, even language barriers. We all carry a blue box with us that allows us to translate to the language of the patient that they feel most comfortable with.
When
if
you
it's
say
not
a blue
English.
Are you saying a blue box? Are you talking about a literal blue box?
A literal blue box. It's a phone that we can plug into the patient's home that allows us to communicate with a translator or an interpreter in the language that they're comfortable with. So that English may be a secondary language for many of the patients that we serve, and they may need to communicate in the language that's more comfortable for them and their families.
So that you have so that people who are being treated go in with the understanding that somebody is going to understand them in their language.
We certainly hope so. We try everything we can.
Well,
and we also understand that not all people are literate, and to give them a paper to sign to agree to something requires, again, a talk back. Do you understand this? And people are sometimes embarrassed by their lack of ability to read and write. So we have to really be sensitive to those issues, not to rush them to understand what their capabilities are in understanding.
We don't have very much time left. Do people understand what is available to them? What kind of services are available to them with end-of-life issues? When we're dealing with a person who is ill, needs services, do we all understand what is available, what resources are available to us in the community?
I do believe there's a tremendous lack of information that's out. One of our purposes is to share this with the community at large. That's why we invite the community in. But for many people, hospice is a four-letter word. Many people don't understand what palliative means, that we have an opportunity to embed resources in their own homes where most people like to be and support them in hopefully a non-threatening and a supportive manner to allow them to exist to the best of their capabilities when they have bad diseases.
So that this is an opportunity for those people who would like to learn more about what is offered in the community for end-of-life issues, for palliative care, when you're dealing with a patient or a member of the family who has an illness that you may not know how to deal with, this is an opportunity to evaluate and to see what services are available.
And with this particular lecture, we're focusing on the veterans community and their families, mm-hmm. but we have a continuing process with this lecture series. As I mentioned, we talked about the nature of suffering. We talked about hope. We've talked about the four things that matter most. We have a speaker coming next May who will be talking about gender differences in bereavement and grieving. So this is an ongoing process, educating the community.
Mm-hmm. Now, the conference is free, Marcianne. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And how do they get in touch with you? How do they register?
Anyone interested in attending the event can register by calling 610-402-CARE, so 402-CARE. Attendees are encouraged to wear military uniforms or attire if appropriate. We do have registration for the celebration and reception from 4 to 5:30, as well as the educational event from 5:45 through 8 o'clock.
So this is an opportunity, and this event is free, and it just requires that you register, or you can simply come in if you'd like. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can register, you can register beforehand by calling 402-CARE, or you can come as a walk-in. This wonderful Veterans Day event is designed to honor and thank active discharged, retired veterans and their families for their dedication and service. So it's open to all of the community and providers.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce Elswig, Vice Chair, Department of Family Medicine and Community Practices. And thank you, Marcianne Albert, Continuing Education Program Specialist for the Lehigh Valley Health Network, for helping us to honor our veterans by helping them to take charge of their lives by incorporating and understanding the unique problems they face when facing end-of-life care or complex life issues. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.